All of that seems impossible, doesn't it? The impossibilities of God is what we're going to talk about this morning. Often we get so stuck in the details of both of these stories that we don't see God's bigger picture. So this morning, I want to take us higher up. I don't want us to move deep into nitty-gritty details. I want us to see maybe God's larger picture for us. Because if we paid attention to the details, Jesus is the one who fed the 5,000, not the disciples, but Jesus. So the offering that was made, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, that meager offering that was made, Jesus took that which was available and fed the 5,000. Think about all the impossibilities that God has done since time began. God made creation out of nothing. That seems pretty impossible. Jesus, born of Mary, a virgin, impossible. Jesus healing the sick. Moses parting the seas. God continues to do things that we today would call impossible. But the impossibilities of God also include another thing. God has promised through Jesus that the world might be saved. Sounds pretty impossible today, doesn't it? When we look at the world we know today, we're thinking, God could never do that. How in the world is God going to save all of these people? How is God going to save us from ourselves? How is God going to save the creation that he made that seems to be falling apart? How? It's impossible. Do you hear yourself ever saying it's impossible? That we could have peace with one another? That we could all be brothers and sisters in Christ? That we could all love one another? Does that sound impossible to you? What can we do to bring this about, we might ask? We're just a small rural church in rural North Carolina with this many people in worship. How can we be part of this amazing, impossible thing that God's calling us into, which is the transformation of the world? How can we do it? 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 plus were fed. And what I love is he doesn't pick up the leftovers. He sends the disciples out. Why does he send the disciples out? So that nothing will be lost. We're the disciples. God doesn't want anybody lost in this world. We're the ones that God is going to send out. As God does God's impossible things for the transformation of the world, he does it through us. It's not by our power that someone gets saved. It is by the power of God through the Holy Spirit that someone gets saved. Our meager offering of a blueberry muffin, or possibly a warm hug, or just sitting with someone who's grieving and lost, or someone who just needs to know the right place to go to get help, to get fed, to get a home. All of those are places where God can do the impossible. We might have said 8 weeks ago that it would be impossible that John Allen would be sitting and playing Battleship with his girlfriend. Or that John Allison would be John Allen. He doesn't have a girlfriend, he has a wife. But John Allen would be sitting and playing Battleship. Or that he would be walking with the aid of a walker and someone holding him up. We might have called that impossible. And God used the things of the world so that that impossibility could be possible. But there's a second half to this story, and it has to do with when Jesus walks on the water. It says, when evening came, his disciples went out down to the sea, and the storm overcomes them. And then the impossible happens. They see Jesus walking on water to them, and they're afraid. And he says, no, it's me. And as soon as they know it's him, what did they want to do? Come on in. And as soon as they say, come on in, they find out they've arrived. It's sort of like when you go to sleep at the beginning of a journey and you get woken up and you get told, we're here. As a little kid, that used to happen to me all the time. I'd fall asleep in the car, and the next thing I'd know, they'd wake me up and say, we're here. And the first thing I remembered was leaving the house. I won't say, and I got buckled in, because back then we didn't buckle in. But as soon as they took Jesus, invited Jesus into the boat, we don't hear him get in, but they invited him into the boat, they were at their destination. Sounds impossible that he would walk on water. Sounds impossible that they arrive. It sounds impossible that he would be resurrected from the dead. It sounds impossible that he would heal the sick. It sounds impossible that he would cast out demons. It sounds impossible that he would walk into a room where his disciples were and say, peace, be still. All of that sounds impossible. When we call it impossible, we limit God. So when we're in those rough seas, when we're in those places that are hard, have you ever noticed when you have a hard problem and you're kind of trying to work it out yourself and you're working really hard to solve that problem? It's sort of like me doing math. That never works out. But it gets so difficult sometimes trying to accomplish everything, trying to solve the problem of, what am I going to do financially? What am I going to do for work? How am I going to retire? My car's breaking down. The list goes on and on and on of the things that seem to pull us into darkness. But as soon as we invite Jesus into our boat that's in those rough seas that we've been rowing forever and our arms are getting really, really tired. It's like Leah working us out at when we were doing faith and fitness, and our arms are getting really, really tired. We're tired of moving this boat, and Jesus appears, and we invite him into this. And what happens? It's like it's all better. It's not solved. Often it's not yet solved, but it's like suddenly the anxiety and the fear and the stress of what we're going through is dampened. And then our eyes open, and we go, oh my, the problem was right here. And here was the solution. And I didn't see it because I was too anxious. So a task that seemed impossible, maybe moments before, becomes absolutely possible in the moment that you allow Jesus to be part of your decision making. God is a God of impossibilities. I would have said it was impossible that Carol and Nancy Beers would be in a pulpit one day. That wasn't my plan. But God is a God of impossibilities. And here I am. And I could not think of doing anything else. So what does that do for us? What does that say to us? It says that God will take what we have, what we offer to God, our offering to God, whatever we offer to God, God will take that. God will multiply it so that nothing will be left over. Nothing will be lost. But we as God's disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples of Jesus, our task is to gather in the leftovers. To gather in that which might be lost if we don't gather it in. Tommy Fowler died 2 days ago. And I will remember when he came in here. You all knew him younger. You knew the Tommy I never knew. But the Tommy I met that day, who asked this preacher, can I speak? And she was just a little bit frightened at letting someone she didn't know have an opportunity to speak. And when he stood up here and he spoke of his brokenness, He offered an apology for many things. And he spoke of his need for community, his need to belong somewhere. And what little we could do to gather him in, we gathered him in for what little time he was here and came and went. But I can't help but think how many Tommy followers are out there who just need to know that they're not a scrap that we're stepping on, that we're going to pick them up and put them in the basket so that God will not lose them. We can do this. We don't need any big program. We don't need any big plan. We just need to love. And we might think that's the most impossible thing to do, to love the people that seem so unlovable. But remember, when we invite God into that problem of loving the unlovable, what does God do? God brings us to our destination, to that place of peace and love. In Sunday school, we were reminded we might not like what they do, but we still are called to love them because we are not the one to judge their life. The Lord, our God and Maker, is the judge of all. Jesus wanted the world to be saved, wanted us to participate in that transformation of the world. But the only way we can do it is to offer that which we have, that meager human frail ability to love that sometimes fails, and allow God to transform it, invite God into it so that we can love as Jesus loved and the world will be saved. It's not impossible. We have a God of impossibilities. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.